In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lilies, incense, it's Easter. It's Easter. I love Easter. Christmas is nice and all, but Easter. Christ is alive. Christ is risen from the grave. Christ has triumphed over death. Of course we celebrate. We celebrate for 50 days. It's not just today. It started last night. We couldn't wait till today. We started sundown Saturday, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And why not? It's the most amazing thing that has ever happened in the entire history of creation. And we celebrate it. We shout it from the housetops. Christ is alive. Christ was dead. Christ was totally stone cold dead. And God raised him from the dead. Human beings had done their absolute worst to Jesus of Nazareth, had humiliated him, spat upon him, beat him, whipped him, all these horrible, nasty things, and nailed him to a tree to leave him to die in the sun. Everything that human beings had ever thought of to that point, to degrade and humiliate and torture another human being, they did it to him. And God said, "Is that all you got?" Even death could not contain our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we gather every Sunday, the Lord's Day, the day of the resurrection. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And not only is it an amazing in and of itself, but more amazing, God uses that to invite us in, to share with us the same species and people who did those horrible, nasty things, uses that as the means of forgiveness. Takes our absolute worst as human beings and uses it as the means of salvation. That's amazing. God can redeem anything. God redeemed crucifixion. God redeemed public, humiliating execution of an innocent man and used it for the greatest glory the earth has ever known. God can redeem anything. The resurrection is proof of that. The empty tomb is proof. It's no wonder the disciples didn't get it. Mary Magdalene goes early in the morning. The Sabbath has ended. Now she can deal with her Lord and teacher. It had been hurried up. The Sabbath was coming. They didn't want dead bodies hanging by the side of the road. So they buried him quickly. And she goes now to do the proper things for him, things that had to wait. And she gets there, and the tomb is empty. There had been rumors before that someone would try to steal his body and fake the resurrection. And so she thought, what happened? He's gone. And then she turns, and there he is. And for whatever reason, probably because of the tears in her eyes, she doesn't recognize him. She's not expecting to see Jesus Christ standing there, lying wrapped in the tomb, sure, but not standing there. And she thinks he's the gardener. Thinks maybe he moved the body. Maybe they needed the space for something else. Who knows? Where is he? And he says, "Mary." That's all it takes. Calling her name, and she hears, and she responds, and she sees Christ. And he tells her, "Go and tell the others." We call Mary the apostle to the apostles. She's the one that got to give the good news to the 12. Well, 11 at that point. Judas was gone. But she's the one who first proclaimed the resurrection of God to humanity. Mary Magdalene. Unfortunately, through the years, Mary Magdalene has gotten conflated with some other Marys and unknown women in the Bible. Let me set the record straight. Mary Magdalene was not a prostitute. Nowhere does it say that in Scripture. If you've been thinking that, I'm sorry, you're wrong. You got bad information. Mary Magdalene was a supporter of Christ, but she was not a prostitute. But she loved Jesus. And she's the one that God used to proclaim the resurrection. Peter, and we assume it was John. It doesn't actually say, but we think it's John because he never says his own name in his gospel. They run to the tomb to see. And even though John gets there first, Peter's the lead disciple. So he holds back and lets Peter go in. And they don't get it. Like, yeah, it's empty. Wonder what that's about. Well, time for breakfast. Head back home. But it's Mary who stays, who worries about it, who's still grieving. Now, the disciples grieve in their own way, but they're not ready to understand what Christ had been telling them. None of them were ready for it. And it's impossible to understand. The resurrection and what God does in Jesus Christ is beyond human understanding. Anyone who thinks they've got it all figured out, you're wrong. I'm sorry. You're wrong. Because we can never understand the glory and majesty of God. We can only be grateful for it, thankful for it, and live lives of gratitude out of it. Thank God we don't have to understand, to receive, to enjoy, to be blessed by it. That's why we have no problem baptizing babies. If we're going to wait for us to understand what's going on before we baptize somebody, ain't none of us getting baptized. If we're going to wait till we understand what happens in communion when we come to the altar, none of us will ever receive. We never understand. We never fully comprehend what God is doing. But we know it is good. We know it is joy. We know it is love. Our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, has said that if it's not about love, it's not about God. Because God is love. And so we relish in the love of God. We live in the love of God. And we do our very best to share that love with everyone else. Don't we? I mean, that's what we're called to do. As Christians, we're called to share God's love with everyone. Because it's so wonderful. It's so great. It's Easter. Christ is alive. Christ is risen. And through that, we are given eternal life. We know that anything can be redeemed. Even us. And thank God for that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.